Folks, it'd be really, really helpful if you wanted to turn up Matthew 18. It's on page 985 in the Pew Bibles. That'll be really useful, but we'll keep you right on the screens as well. Do no harm is one of the first commitments doctors make when they qualify. Do no harm. And that's really good to know. Because when we find ourselves in the care of doctors and nurses, we expect to get better, not worse. And yet, we live in a world of lawsuits, medical malpractice, the insurance premiums for doctors would scare us. And the coroner's reports always come out and they find mistakes, don't they? Because do no harm is a wonderful idea and a noble aim, but not always the reality. Lots of us have had really good experiences of the NHS, medical treatment, but not everyone has. So once again, we hit this thing in life where a simple idea seems so straightforward, but it becomes complicated, doesn't it? And it's full of exceptions. And all of that to say, before we get anything near the constantly hot topics of things like abortion, when, how, and how late, are also the end-of-life care, euthanasia, the idea that your doctor could become your executioner. Is that mercy and kindness, or are they doing harm in the ending of a life, whether it's young or old? Or can they keep their vow, do no harm, and still carry out these things? Those are difficult things to talk about. Not just in the world, but in the church. But before us today, folks, is a parable we might think we know. The lost sheep, we know this. And if we think we know it, then we might think that it's very simple and straightforward. But the parable of the lost sheep, we sometimes think it's about faithful shepherds, isn't it? They go off and they find the lost animal. He finds it, he rescues it, he brings it back. It's all about faithful and loving pastoring of the flock. It's about pastors and churches, isn't it? It's about finding people and bringing them into God's family, right? Well, that's the case when Luke tells this parable. He has it as an example of looking. In Luke, you've got the lost sheep story. It's followed by the woman who's looking for her lost coin. And after that, you've got the father looking for his lost son. So Luke's thinking about looking. But our reading this morning is Matthew. And Matthew changes things just ever so slightly. So what we have here, what we hold here this morning, is not so much about looking after, but about doing no harm. Right, if you're still with me, how do we get there? How does this work out? Well, always, always, we look for the context. The first verse this morning looks like this. See, you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now, that's how this starts. What is Jesus talking about? Well, it's always handy to look around the passage. What's going on? Who's Jesus talking to? And what we see is that Jesus has been asked a big question. Here's the question. This is the question he's asked. And in answering that question, who is the greatest? He takes a little child out of the crowd and he says, to be the greatest, you've got to be like a little child. That's a whole other sermon, not for this morning. But he adds a warning that is helpful today. He says, do no harm, remember? Here's the warning. Holding a little child, he says this, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it'd be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. You see, now we're ready to start back to the beginning of our reading. Look at it again. So what we're seeing here, folks, little ones is not children. It's a euphemism for us. Those who believe, those who become like the little children, humble in their belief, the recipients of grace, people who look down on no one. So Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's talking about other Christians. He's telling us over and over again that we're to do no harm. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't keep people from Jesus. And we shouldn't miss that this morning. Now, we can miss the point here, because if I leave that verse up there and you keep staring at it and reading it, you're going to start thinking about guardian angels, aren't you? Anyone doing that? It looks like every child has an angel, doesn't it? It looks like every child's got an angel, not just any old angel, though, an angel in heaven, in God's presence, and not just generally in God's presence, but close enough to God that they see his face. Do you see that? And, you know, I would love nothing more than to tell you this morning that that's true. I would love to send you home thinking that your children and your grandchildren have a guardian angel who will watch over them and keep them from harm. And better than that, you would love me to tell you that. But it's just not true. It doesn't hold water, because let's remember some of the hard work we've done already this morning. We're not talking literally about children, but about Christians. The meek and the humble, those who are childlike, who look like children do to their parents, are the real members of the kingdom. That's us, if we call ourselves Christians. We are the little ones. And nowhere in your Bible does it suggest that there is an assigned angel for each person. So now that I've pulled that rug from under you, maybe slightly cruelly, forgive me, what is this about? What's Jesus really saying here? What on earth does this mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything on earth, but it means everything in heaven. Because what Jesus is saying here is that we're to do no harm amongst each other, because our destiny is heaven and the gaze of the Father himself. That's where we're going. And the angel reference there, that's really tricky, really complicated, but it's most likely a reference to our spirit after death. Now, I don't want you to mishear me. I know I'm introducing you to problems here this morning. Don't mishear me. You're not going to become an angel when you die. You're human, and you'll be resurrected human again. So what we have to do here with Jesus is allow a little bit of poetry. Just like we talk about little ones as a euphemism for Christians, or millstones being tied around necks. These are pictures that emphasize a bigger truth. And there's another one coming up, this shepherd and his lost sheep. It's all the same language, picture language. So if we allow for a bit of poetry here, then we see something of the mystery that lies before us. This might help us. Later on, Jesus is asked about heaven, and he says this. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Do you see that? It's part of his language. It's part of his picture that he tries to give to us. Okay, take a deep breath for me, because the punchline of this, to bring you back, is that we're to be careful with each other. Do no harm. Why? Because we're going to heaven. Our destiny is heaven. In God's presence, we will see his face, and we will be the little ones who gaze upon him with love and fullness in our hearts. Doesn't that sound good? So do no harm. It's really important to know that, folks, because we then get to this parable. There we go. Because Jesus goes on. The man with 100 sheep, and one wanders off, he goes and finds it. Do no harm, because the Father has concern for every one of his family. That's what we were saying to the children earlier. Why should I care about you? Why should you care about me? Why would I go out of my way not to harm you? Because This is how valued each of us is. He will go and look for you. And don't miss that value. Look at the rejoicing over the one that he brings back. It seems louder and more joyful than for the 99 remain. Did you see that? He finds it. Truly, I tell you, he is happier about the one. Now, if God looks at you like that, why would we get comfortable hurting each other? And by the way, folks, we're not talking about some of the silliness in the church. We're not talking about falling out over music or what you're wearing. Those are missing the point. We're talking about actual harm, something that puts people off Jesus completely. It keeps them from seeing him, something that means that a person might die without him. That's harm. And for you and for me, we're talking about a lack of forgiveness. If we can't find it, then we're not really following. We're talking about people who say they believe in God, but they will never pray to him. We're talking about people who like to look good without having to be good. It's not telling someone the truth because you might offend them. Do you ever hear yourself holding back from the truth because it might upset someone? Have you ever done that? Even though you know the truth is what they need. Bishop Ryle said there's one thing that's worse than controversy. That is false doctrine, tolerated, allowed, and permitted without protest. False doctrine, tolerated, allowed, and permitted without protest. It is worse than controversy. We might say hypocrisy is harmful. Hypocrisy is harmful. And what are we talking about this morning? Don't lose it. Do no harm. If we're to do no harm, what do we do? Well, it's always the same, folks. Do God's will. And you would be right to say to me, well, hold on, Craig, what is God's will? Well, it's here. God is unwilling to lose any of his little ones. And if that's his will, it becomes shocking that anyone in the church would want to lead someone astray. They'll tell lies about the church. They'll do you down. They'll build their own little kingdom on top of your bones. That happens. And it leads people away from Jesus, because why would they come if that's what people in the church are like? Do no harm. Do God's will. God cares so much for us. Why would we do this? Do you know, this seems so simple. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Because in the kingdom, and we've been hearing this for weeks now, in the kingdom of God, there are weeds as well as wheat. There are servants of the king, and there are servants of his enemy. And that's part of a bigger picture. Paul tells his elders, doesn't he, that the wolves would come not from outside the church, but from within it. Why would he say that? So the church, that's us, needs to keep watch, keep guard, and do no harm. Allow no harm. We're going to pray about that because that's difficult. But one last thing. The love for the individual is never at the expense of the flock. Rather, the love God has for each of us is witnessed in the flock. Where is the sheep brought back to? The church, the whole church, so that we press on and we lose no one. I know what you're thinking. These have been a strange couple of years. We're in a period of seeing who might wander back and maybe who's wandered off. That happens. It will happen. But this parable this morning tells us that we shouldn't be the cause. We should encourage and pray for people. We should keep inviting them back. We do our best to love them in the truth that God gives. Tell the truth. We're to do no harm and do God's will.